Welcome to the mini-sode, Carrie.
Thanks, Hilda.
I've heard you say that one of the things humans are missing now is getting sufficient electrons, that we have this huge electron loss thing going on because we're only getting electrons from food. Can you tell us more about that?
The way that I learned that we derive energy is to take a food, break food down into electrons, and then that those electrons go into the mitochondria, and the mitochondria make ATP. But that's not the only way that we use electrons in the body. And we actually, if you look at electron flow in the body, you recognize that we are basically meant to have what I call a net negative charge inside of our cells. Our cells are meant to be electron rich. And as that gets depleted, cells lose function. It's like a cell phone battery or a cell phone battery drains to a certain point and the cell phone says, okay, now your screen can only be this bright. No, we can't download that update. No. So functionality decreases. And so cells need this net negative charge. And that means we got to be full of electrons. So how do we get these electrons? Well, sure, we can get them from food, but we also get them from earthing and grounding, which is the way that we would touch bare skin to the earth to flow electrons through our body. And that happens through our connective tissue network and the water that surrounds it. We can also build exclusion zone water, which is a negatively charged water that lives inside and around all of our cells. And so if we can build exclusion zone water, we can maintain that beautiful negative charge as well. And that is really a potent, really potent way to do that is with infrared exposures. It can be really charging for that exclusion zone water. And then come in contact with things, just being in nature, because being in nature is less depleting of our electron reserves than being in a modern indoor environment.
Yeah, you use the word depleting. I feel like at every turn I'm running into people who are exhausted, anxious, depressed, almost lifeless, zombie-like, I would say. And it could be that the key is that they are having this electron loss, right?
Absolutely, because think about it. If the body doesn't think it has enough energetic capacity, it's going to start shutting down different functions. It especially shuts down functions where the mitochondria are most dense. That's the brain. That's in the ovaries, right? That's in the egg. So we're seeing a rise in infertility. Okay, no, Carrie does not have the electron status or the mitochondrial health to have a baby. So we start to shut down reproductive capabilities. We start to get brain challenges. So cognition changes, that brain fog gets laid on so thick. And a lot of it just has to do with reestablishing healthy electron status in the body.
So you said get in nature. You said touch the ground. We talked about sunlight in the main episode. What about this kind of fad of cold plunging? Does that help in any way?
It absolutely does, because cold plunging actually makes us more efficient flowers of electrons. But also cold plunging, believe it or not, helps our mitochondria do something called produce more infrared light. So people don't realize mitochondria make their own infrared. They run about 10 degrees Celsius warmer than the rest of the cell. And when we cold plunge, they make even more infrared, that heat, that light for us, which we can then use to structure our water into exclusion zone water, which charges up that battery. It actually helps with electron flow through the mitochondria themselves. So cold could be a really supportive way to benefit all of these different processes.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Because some people just think it's a fad. But yeah, I think absolutely. What we have to do is counterbalance this electron depletion status that we have. So maybe we do have to get a little bit radical, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're not living in a world that really the human body was designed to live in. So we have to potentially go to different lengths to support the body, depending on how much we live indoors, surrounded by artificial light, non-native EMFs. We might have to remediate that. And cold plunging is a great way to do that. It doesn't have to be at the extreme that we see a lot, you know, right? The fad that we see 30 minutes a day for 30 days at 30 degrees or whatever, right? It doesn't have to be that extreme. But I do find a good 5-minute cold plunge sprinkled in 3 or 4 times throughout the week can be really beneficial.
What do you think about women's tolerance for cold versus men's? Do you see a difference in terms of how long they should be in the cold?
I think women's tolerance is much less, especially if it's a woman who's trying to conceive or looking to optimize fertility, because excessive cold can definitely be a stressor. So typically, if someone's trying to conceive, because we women are a little more reactive to the cold that way, I'd say that if you're trying to conceive after ovulation and put on the brakes, right? You know, but you can really do some good mitochondrial optimization leading up to that point.
Yeah, I invited a friend of mine to join me on a like cold plunge retreat in Wisconsin. We were jumping in ice holes, all the things. And she's like, I want to have babies. I'm not coming. I think because she realized it could be too much of a stressor and she wanted to lower the stress in her life. So well thought out, right?
Yeah, well thought out. You know, and I think part of the stress of cold plunging is a mental barrier, and that those of us who have done cold plunging maybe more as a regular practice recognize the way we feel afterwards. It's like, yes, that getting over that slight mental barrier of, oh gosh, am I really going to get my body into this cold water with, oh, but I know I'm going to feel amazing in about 90 seconds.
So the cold, the heat, nature, I mean, I think these are things that our ancestors would naturally have experienced. They spent, you know, 7/8 of their day outside and 1/8 maybe when they were sleeping in the cave. And we do it the other way around, right? So it's really important for us to find ways, like you said, to get in an environment that challenges us, but also that is healing.
Absolutely. Ancestral health does talk about what we eat, but also how we experience our environment. And these days we do have to get back into nature, back into our natural setting.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that reminder, Carrie. I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thanks, Hilda. Me too.